Bicester. Seems a good place to start a hunt from.
It's Saturday, the 13th of April, 1912. The composer George Butterworth has just disembarked from the train at Bicester Station and has collected his bicycle from the guard's van.
Came here because trains served better than on the Banbury line. Arrived at 5 after a halting journey from Portishead.
Butterworth is the son of the general manager of the North Eastern Railway. After attending Eton, he went up to Trinity College, Oxford in 1904.
Traces of Morris to be expected at Bucknell, Kirtlington, King Sutton and Deddington. After a substantial tea, decided to start out on bicycle at random.
At Oxford, he had become interested in folk music after a chance meeting with Ralph Vaughan Williams. Vaughan Williams introduced him to Cecil Sharp, a founder of the English folk song collecting movement.
One fine morning as I was walking, the weather being bright and clear, I overheard a tender mother talking to her daughter dear.
That's Butterworth's arrangement of an English folk song collected in 1904 by Lucy Broadwood. The folk song movement had realised that, with the advent of the gramophone, it was likely that traditional English folk songs and dances like that, some dating back as far as the 16th century, would be lost forever.
Went into the Fox and Hounds at Launton and got into a conversation with William Cartwright, aged about 70.
Much of their detective work involved roaming around the countryside looking for older people who could still recall these songs.
Cartwright could not remember any of the tunes or even the names of the dancers, but he spoke of the Morris with the greatest enthusiasm. It was dropped, he said, owing to the lack of interest shown by the younger men. Morris at Launton stopped about 50 years back, and all the dancers are dead.
Many of the songs and dances had only been passed down in small, isolated communities, from father to son or mother to daughter, and never written down.
Cartwright is a splendid type of the old English peasant. Apart from a decline of the dance and song, he does not seem to regret modern changes very much. He told me he was nearly starved to death during the Crimean War, and that scores of children were. He also spoke of the barbarity of old times. His grandfather won his bride by fighting for her on the green at Islip, and this was quite a common custom.
The folk song collectors soon found that the pub was the best place to find leads and write down songs. I dare say a little drinking was involved as well.
Returned to Bicester and went into one of the smaller pubs, where there were two men, of whom the elder knew all about the Bucknell Morris. The original musician was one Nelson of Steeple Aston, whom all agree to have been a magnificent player on the pipe. Nelson had one failing. He was sometimes so drunk that he could not play at all. Levi James at Stoke Lynn showed me the tree where they used to tie Nelson up when he was too drunk to stand. Retired to bed, three parts gone. On the whole, pleased with the first day's work, and only 5 hours. Sunday. Bicycled over to Lower Hayforth and lunched with the Leonards. I then returned to Bicester on the way, calling on Mr. Charles Coles at Middleton Stoney. He seemed willing enough to help, but his wife was an impediment. She thought married men had no right to concern themselves with such things. Under the circumstances, I lay low, especially as it was Sunday, determining to catch him alone someday.
As well as preserving these tunes and dances, these composers were on the hunt for something else, a genuinely English music, untainted by what they saw as unwelcome external influences.
Monday, April the 15th. Spent the day trying to get the tunes to the Bucknell Morris. As usual, the unexpected turned up trumps. I'd been very suspicious of Joe Pole, the pipe player, because the Rolfs said he only knew a few tunes.
On Butterworth's expedition in 1912, he also attempted to record the steps of the dances.
After a rather blank day, I visited Joe Pole in the evening, and found it quite true he could only play a few tunes. Moreover, he played those so badly that they were impossible to note. But he remembered many tunes which he had never attempted to play. He has a good memory, and hummed me several tunes with some difficulty. In time, I hope to recover several tunes from him in this way.
On some expeditions, George had used new technology, such as a portable phonograph machine, which recorded the singers onto wax cylinders. Several of these field recordings have been preserved and made available by the British Library. Here's a recording Butterworth made in 1909 of David Clements of Basingstoke, performing a rather grim folk song about a sailor murdering his lover, but which has the rather beautiful title of The Banks of Green Willow. Butterworth constructed his well-known orchestral work of that name from several versions of this song that his friends had collected. The tune he collected himself appears towards the end of the piece. The task of collecting these dances could be fruitless, however.
I'm afraid, after all, the Bucknell Morris is a no-go. It was obviously at one time a fine tradition.
On the 17th of April 1912, the composer was treated to the spectacle of an improvised revival of the Bucknell Morris.
On Wednesday evening, Joe Pole came over with his pipe and drum, and we had a grand gathering at the crossroads. It was the most pathetic sight to see the two old men going around trying to get volunteers to make up a side. They succeeded at last, but the result, of course, was chaos. Their enthusiasm and patience all along has been splendid. Even now, they would gladly take on the job of initiating recruits, if there were any forthcoming. My blessing on them both, but I'm afraid in any case, they would not be equal to the task.
Butterworth himself, along with his friends George Gerard Wilkinson, also a composer, Reginald Tiddy, Percival Lucas and others, were all keen dancers, trying to keep the tradition alive.
Saturday, April the 20th. Rode back westward to Deddington, sending bag on to Lower Hayford. Lovely day, in fact perfect weather all the week.
Cecil Sharp formed a Morris demonstration team of which Butterworth was a keen member. Indeed, he once wrote to a friend, "I'm not a musician, I'm a professional dancer." There's even surviving film footage of him dancing, dating from about this time, 1912. 4 years later, George Butterworth, Reginald Tiddy, George Wilkinson, and several other dancers were dead, killed fighting in the Battle of the Somme in 1916.
Monday to Wednesday, April the 22nd to 24th. Worked all the places round. Amusing expedition to Kirtlington, lively old lady, aged 83, Caroline Pearman, and Dickens-like Taylor, Hawks, aged 85, both full of information about the old Morris and Lamb Ale.
Butterworth's work in recording these tunes for posterity, however, lives on, both through his much-loved compositions and through the continuing tradition of song and dance that the folk collectors helped to preserve.
Wednesday, April the 24th. Returned to London after lunching with Tiddy at Oxford.